with two children, and she had shopped all day long, hour after hour. She was tired, the pressure of buying gifts and all of these pressures, and she was wore out. The kids were crying. Maybe some of you have been there. Dragging those children, trying to get gifts done, and all of a sudden you're going through the malls, and these two children are crying. The elevator opens. She's going to the second floor. She pushes her way in with the two kids, and she's just completely exhausted. And so in a moment of weakness, she cries out in the elevator. She said, "Whoever started this Christmas thing should be strung up and shot." And a guy in the back of the elevator says, "Someone from the back said this. They said, well, we already did. They crucified him." See, we have forgotten what Christmas is about. We've forgotten the focus. And Paul shifts it back here just a moment. And what's interesting here is when we talk about Christ as the indescribable gift, you're walking on territory that is in twofold. One, it's almost insane to be able to describe and to explain how someone like God could come and be human. It's almost insane for us in our finite understanding, our created understanding, to understand a God who came to earth, became human like us, left heaven, took off his deity, came here, became like us. It would almost be almost insanity, standing on the grounds of insanity to explain that. But also, it's on the grounds of good ground too, because the Bible says that when Jesus is lifted up, all men can be drawn unto him. And so by faith this morning, we're going to lift Jesus up and let men be drawn unto him. You know what I love about the Christmas story? It's how you see God relate to man through the Christmas story. Matter of fact, when you look through the Christmas story, how did God appear to angels or to sheep or the shepherds? He appeared to them through angels. Why is that important? Because in the Old Testament, shepherds were appeared to by angels. Angels spoke in the Old Testament. It's what the shepherds understood. But when he appeared to the Magi, how did he appear to the Magi? In a star, through astrology. Why is that? Because that's what they were. They were astrologists. They looked at the stars. That's how they figured out the answers to questions that they had. It was how they looked. So it's how God revealed. How did God reveal himself to Mary and Joseph? It was through dreams and visions. Why is that? Because Joel said, "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh," right? "And men shall dream dreams and have visions, and your handmaidens shall prophesy." In other words, it's how God spoke. Listen, isn't it good to know that no matter what you are or what background you come from this morning in here, God will speak to you on the level of your understanding. Hallelujah. You could be the smartest man to walk into this room. God can speak to you on your level. You could have a sawdust head, and God could speak to you on your level. Why? Because we have a God that can reach down to where man is and knows what he thinks, knows what's inside him, knows how he thinks, and God can come down and reveal himself unto you, just as he did to Paul. Paul said, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." And so it's good ground that we stand on in describing this morning. Trying to look past the money, the credit cards, the stores, and look at the manger this morning and look past the bustle and bustle of Christmas. So I wrote down a couple of things that would help describe this indescribable gift this morning. To help us to try to put into context, what does it mean to talk about an indescribable gift? And of course, some of you may be able to do it better than I could. But I just wrote down a couple of things. First of all, number one is, he was so young, but yet so old. He was so young, but yet so old. Christ was so young, but yet so old. Let me read to you Malachi chapter 5 and verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth me, one to be the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from of old and from everlasting." That baby, though he was so young, yet he was so old. It is amazing that in 10 BC, no one ever heard of Jesus of Nazareth. In 10 BC, no one ever heard that of that expression, Jesus of Nazareth. But there's never a time when Christ, who became Jesus, did not exist. Yet before he was born, no one knew of Jesus of Nazareth, but yet there was a time when he did not exist. There wasn't a time. Matter of fact, we use the phrase BC when we talk about history or dating. Of course, they've changed it to common era now or whatever they use. But when they use that phrase is not really accurate because it's really incorrect. Because before Christ, it means to be before Christ. Well, the truth is, there never was a time before Christ. He has no beginning and he has no end. There was never. He's the Ancient of Days, the scripture talks about. He always was, he always will be. He is the absolute, he's the beginning and the end. And he is the only person that has ever lived before he was born. Hallelujah. You get that this morning? That's indescribable. How do you describe someone who lived before they were born? Huh? How do you describe someone who was from the beginning, but yet he was so young, but yet he was so old? That is indescribable to us this morning. That's beyond somewhat of our mental comprehension. But Paul said this, thanks be to God for the indescribable gift he has given us this morning. Woo! We serve an indescribable God this morning. Woo! No beginning, no end. Alpha, the Omega. That's indescribable. Number two this morning. So poor, born in a manger, yet so rich, he was God himself. Woo! The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, just one chapter over from where we are, it says in verse 9, for you knowing the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Woo! That's good stuff. Think about it. People are more comfortable with the baby that doesn't cry in the manger than they are the bloody sacrifice of someone who's put on the cross. Let's just say it. Chris is more tolerable to people because he's just a baby in a manger. And it's more tolerable than Easter because he's not a homeless 30-year-old man who's put on the cross. But when we think about this, you remember that song? It says, you came from heaven to earth to show the way. I love that song. It says, you came from heaven. It's the environment, from one environment to this. Think about that. Romans 5 says that while we were yet sinners, ungodly, no one cried out for God. No one cried to him, for his love is what sent him here. Listen, his love for you is what sent him here. He left what was rich to become poor so that we might be partakers of his divine nature this morning. That's good news to you and I. We live in a society where the poor is trying to become rich. The rich ain't trying to become poor. That's contradictory. Jesus became poor that we might become, he went from rich to poor so that we might go from being poor to being made rich. Huh. Creator of the universe, born in a borrowed stable, came to change our lives, and the poor became rich. I like the poem of a Puritan that says this, he died on the cross, he died on a cross made of wood, but he made the hill on which it stood. Uh-huh. He died on the cross, which was made of wood, but he made the hill on which it stood. How many know that's indescribable? You can't describe that. You can't explain that. There's no biology that puts that together. There's no one that says, how can a man be live before he's born? How can a man be rich or become rich and then poor so that others could become poor, rich? It's an indescribable God that we serve this morning. He came to save the planets. You know, we used to live in East Tennessee and lived in some of the southern states. But it was interesting when we moved to the Washington, D.C. area, a place called Fredericksburg. We lived there. And it was interesting. All of a sudden, I noticed that people had a bigger emphasis on saving the planet. And I remember being with my boss one day. We were eating lunch up around the D.C. area, and I was getting ready to throw away my lunch. And as I went over to the trash receptacle, I was just, you know, just commonly getting ready to throw my lunch away. And as I was getting ready to throw it away, this lady said, "Hey, hey, 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 hey. Trash goes there, plastic goes there." I said, "Okay." I put my trash there and put my plastic there. I learned. About saving the planet, you know. I mean, you have, you know, we got to save, you know, a little bit, everybody. Listen, I understand that. I understand that. Can I tell you something? You're not going to save a planet by saving the plastic. Going green is not going to save this planet, but going Jesus sure will. Hey, I'm all for it. We have a responsibility to be good stewards of what God gives us. But my hope is not in saving newspapers and milk cartons and plastic. My hope is in a God who is indescribable this morning, who cannot be boxed in, but He's someone who we may not understand fully, but we know He came and changed our lives and has the ability to change this planet. Hallelujah. It's the God we serve. So I'm not going green, I'm going Jesus. He's the only one that can save the planet because He is an indescribable God. He became rich or poor so that we could become rich. Number three, He's earthly, but He's also heavenly. He came in the flesh. See, that's the fight that we keep fighting on this earth. See, the key is that the world wants to continue to make Him earthly when really He's heavenly. The fight is to say that He is not divine, but to say that He is just earthly. Our culture wants to say that. He's no different than any other prophet. He's no different than anyone else who's come in representation to God. Our government has even said that He is not even divine. That's why they've removed Him from everything, because He has no eternal power. They don't consider Him as someone who has eternal power. That's the fight of the day we live in, is to take the Christ that we serve and continue to make Him earthly and not make Him heavenly. I'm here to tell you, He's heavenly. I was reading the Wall Street Journal this week, and I read about a lady, a little girl by the name of Anna Sophia. Anna Sophia, at Christmas time, all of her students were allowed to bring music in. And so her friends brought music in. And she told the teacher, she said, "Look, I'd like to bring some music in, and I'd like to explain my music." Teacher said, "Okay, no problem." So she brought some music in. She started playing some Christian music. All of a sudden, the students in the class began to like it. They started learning the lyrics and downloading the song. And here she found herself up teaching these students this song that nothing is impossible for God. And all of a sudden, the teacher was so impressed by her speaking skills and her communication. The teacher said, "Hey, would you be interested in writing an essay about Christmas for the city of New York and explain in an essay about Christmas?" She said, "I'd love to." So she went home, she began to write this essay, and she entered it into a competition in all of New York City school system. She's a fifth grader. She got second place in all of the city of New York. Let me read to you what she wrote. She wrote a fictional story, but it was a story about Christmas. This is what she wrote. It was a story about a young girl by the name of Lola. 3 days before Christmas, Lola had a Christmas list that went out the door. She wanted so much, and her parents spoiled her all the time. Lola's parents got her everything that was on her list, except for one thing, that was happiness. Happiness is what Lola really wanted more than anything. They went to every store. They went to the first store, asked for happiness. The employer said, "There's no happiness here. You can't buy happiness here." They went to the next store and asked for happiness, and they could not find happiness in any other store for happiness. So they began to look for happiness, and as they walked and they found there's no answer for happiness, they had just happened to finish looking for happiness when they walked by a church and saw a sign that said, Jesus is the happiness to the world. They began to walk into the church and they asked the pastor, they said, sir, as he was serving food to those who were in need, they turned to him and said, sir, your sign said that you have happiness. We would like to have happiness. Can you give us happiness? The pastor turned and looked to Lola and looked at her mother and said, I know what happiness is. And he turned and he grabbed the book and he opened the book and he marked the page and he gave her the book and he said, take this book, read this book, and you will know what happiness is. They went home, and Lola's parents, by surprise, took the book, wrapped it as a Christmas gift, along with the other Christmas gifts that she gave. And on Christmas morning, she began to open up all of her gifts. Of course, Lola got everything she wanted. She opened her gifts. It took her 45 minutes to open her presents. When she got to the last present, it was the smallest, and she opened the gift, and on the front of it, it said, B-I-B-L-E. She said, what's this? And her mother said, open it. It's happiness in which you were looking for. And so, as her mother and father went and prepared for people to come as guests, Lola took the book and began to read the marked pages. All of a sudden, Lola runs out of her room, and she comes to her mother and says, Mom, get the car. Start the car. Lola ran, and she began to gather some of her presents. She put her presents in a bag. She got into the car with her mom. 5 minutes later, they arrived at a homeless shelter, and Lola said, Mom, stay right here. Lola jumped out of the car, grabbed her bag, walked into the homeless shelter, and she walked up to the counter, and this is what she said to the lady. She said, I want you to give all of what I got in this bag to all the young girls that are here and tell them Merry Christmas. Lola ran back to the car, and her mom said, what are you doing? What's taking you so long? Where have you been? Lola said, well, Mom, I found happiness. She said, when I opened the book, I began to read, and I read something that was in the book, and this is what it said. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who whosoever believe in Him would have eternal life. And that's what she gave. She got second place out of a fictional story. How is it that a fifth grader can get it, but we can't? I'm telling you, we serve an indescribable God this morning. Some think He's still earthly, but He's truly heavenly. And I want to tell you, He's indescribable this morning. I'm telling you, you see a babe in a manger, but I want to tell you, I see the God-man. I see the one who came to set us free. I see the one who became poor so that we could become rich. And I want to tell you, there's no money or amount of gift that could ever replace what Jesus can do in your life. I'm telling you, you're here this morning, and you can want many, many things. New car, a new home, many different gifts. You can get what you want, and you finally might get whatever you want. And you may pursue your whole life's journey pursuing the things that you have a desire to give. But I want to tell you, you can gain the whole world and be empty inside. Why? Because there's one gift that can only fulfill the void that is in your life. That is Christ Jesus. He is the indescribable gift. He's the one that comes in through the heart. I can't explain it. But I know this. I once was lost, but now I'm saved. I once was bound in sin, but now I walk in freedom. I once did not walk according to my own desire, but the desires of this world. Now He lives inside of me, and it's changed me. I can't describe it. I can't explain it. All I know is it's the indescribable gift. Hallelujah! Woo! Indescribable. Indescribable. He cannot be explained. Number four and final point. Woo! Y'all getting me all sweating up already on Christmas. So small, but yet so great. Whew. No other religion. Every other religion makes the proclamation, God is great, God is great. Christianity is the only one that comes along and says, God is great, but God is also little. What other religion did they come as a baby? Christianity is the only religion where it's God came with humility and came as the incarnation, that the highest became the lowest. I remember when the kids were little, and I don't believe Caroline was born yet, but I had taken Austin, and me and Laura had taken Austin and Savannah to a water park. And we went to this water park, and they had this slide that was in the middle of the pool, and they wanted to go down it, and it was just a little slide. So I walked over there, and I thought, well, I'll just go down it with them. Because they wanted to go. They're small, and they, you know, it wasn't a big slide, but I thought, well, I'll get on it and go. And as I started to get on, the lifeguard said, hey, hey, big boy. I said, big boy, I'll show you big boy. 40 inches tall, buddy. 40 inches tall. 40 inches tall. So after a little while, I coaxed them, and they learned how to get up and go down and had fun, and I didn't get the ride. So we left there. We went to McDonald's. We're at McDonald's, and we're eating, and sometimes we let them play in the play thing, unless we found one that was really nasty. Then we didn't do that. But we get to McDonald's, and, you know, they're playing, and then I see even at McDonald's, I want to go in and play in the balls, and 48 inches. I couldn't go. You had to let them play. And I wanted to get into the balls. Hey, buddy. Hey. 40 inches. Get over there and sit down and eat your cheeseburger. See, the size was the ticket to get in. You had to be under a certain height in order to get in. See, heaven is somewhat like that. In other words, the only way in order that you can get in is you first have to become small in order to get in. You first have to become humble. That's why Jesus said that the kingdom of God, that you must come to the kingdom of God as a child comes. You must first decrease before He can ever increase. God said, become a child so that you can become a child of God in the kingdom. He came as the lowest. You can't walk in upright. You can't walk in your own pride, your own understanding. You can't walk upright in arrogance and expect to get in. You can't walk in saying, you know more than God knows. You can't say, I'm smarter than God. I haven't figured out more than God. There's nothing greater than to understand Jesus was giving us an example when He came as a child in the humility of humanity. He was showing us that you first have to become small in order to grow into something that is big. And if you want to have an understanding of God, we first have to humble ourselves before God and say, we are a sinner. We need Christ in our life. You have to remove the pride and your own understanding before you can enter into what. Listen, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what you possess. It doesn't matter what you've done, what your gifts are, even your life. There's some things you've got to lay down in order to get into the kingdom. And we have to become small. Lay it down. Why? Because size matters in the kingdom. He became small, yet He was so great. And if God gets low, then we can get upright. I want you to know this morning that many of us are here this morning and God wants to reveal Himself to you. Do we understand what He did for us? He came from heaven to earth to show the way. He came from heaven to earth to live so we could lift His name on high and to lift Him up this morning. It's a simple message this morning, not really deep theologically, but the truth is, it's deeper than what we realize. Because the truth is, Christ is not just a baby in a manger. He is an indescribable gift this morning. Adam, would you come? Would you stand with me this morning? You know, I thought this morning as I closed the service, I said, Lord, I said, you know what? I said, Christmas can be a distraction in people's lives. I prayed this morning. I said, God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to people this morning in a way you've never revealed yourself before. And I thought to myself, when I began to think of an indescribable God, I first thought that he was so young, but yet he was so old. He was from the beginning. So poor, but so rich. He was earthly, but he was also heavenly. But most of all, he was small, but yet he became great. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've never made a confession of faith to Christ. You've never allowed him to become your Savior this morning. And so I want to give you an opportunity this morning. I don't want to leave here this Christmas season without giving you an opportunity to understand that first you have to become small in order to become big. That this indescribable gift would reveal itself to you and your heart this morning, that you may make a decision to serve God and to know him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you said, well, is he going to do that thing where he asked me to raise my hand? And I raise my hand and he'll say, well, would you come down here? Excuse me. I got to do all that. I'll just pray right here. Yeah. When we think about what he's done for us, when I came to Christ, I didn't think about what it was going to cost me or who cared when I made that decision. So maybe you came this morning and you've never made a decision for Jesus. You've never asked him into your heart and he's never become your Savior. Listen, I love praying for miracles. I love praying for the sick. I love praying for people who have needs in their lives. And the church should be about that. Our services should be about that. But I want to tell you, there's no greater call to God than the call to salvation and to know Christ Jesus as Savior. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, or you have never asked him into your heart, I want to tell you something. Young families need to listen to me. God is put on the back burner of most young families. And I want to tell you, your marriage will not make it without Christ. I'm just going to tell you, you will not make it in this world without Christ. And I want to tell you, we put everything in front of Jesus. Teaching our children, you say, well, you're going to go old school preaching. No, I'm not going to go old school preaching. But let me tell you what happens. Families put everything in front of their children except Jesus. But when their children are 15, 16, 17 years old and they're ready to jump off of a building, all of a sudden they want God. When they can't understand why their daughter dates this guy or why their son dates this girl or why the reason is, listen, I'm telling you, it's time to reconnect our lives with Jesus and let the indescribable gift become a part of our lives. It's time for you to get serious with God and make a decision to serve him. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but what it does mean that he is first. I'm telling you, he's more than just a baby in a manger. He is God this morning. So if you're here this morning, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to run or do, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to lay hands on you and make you, you know, do whatever. But if you need Jesus this morning, or if you want to make a fresh commitment to God, if you'll just step out of where you are and come down to this altar, come to this place, I'm going to have someone pray with you this morning and make it public. Say, I'm making a public confession that Christ is my Lord this morning. I'm tired of playing games. I want the world to know that I'm accepting this indescribable gift. I want it to come into my life. So if that's you this morning, step out of where you are and just come. No manipulation. I'm not playing games with you. I serve God openly. I'm going to share God openly. Come on. Is there anybody who needs Jesus this morning? Anybody needs God to touch their life this morning? Anybody needs a refreshing? Anybody needs God to do something special in their life this morning? Would you just come to this altar this morning? on this family Christmas Sunday? Can He become the indescribable gift in your life? Would you come? Adam, would you just sing a chorus or two of something? Let us sing this together as we give people the opportunity to come.
Amazing grace, how sweet
the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that tore my heart to hear, and grace that makes believe. How precious is that grace appear. Hey, I first believe.
I take my heart, I can set free.
My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Mercy reigns. Amazing grace. I want to close with this morning. I don't know if you've ever heard of a man by the name of Holy Hubert. Holy Hubert was an interesting individual. He was one of the first street preachers that ever began preaching on the street and college campuses. Holy Hubert was a professor at Harvard University for many years. And he got saved, gave his life to Christ, and began to preach the gospel. And what he began to do was he used to go on college campuses and preach. Holy Hubert, when he first began to start preaching, all of a sudden he went blind. There was no explanation of why he went blind. He would go on college campuses, and he was blind, and he would preach. And he was preaching at the Ohio State University one day. And as he was preaching, he began to preach, and a young man came up to him and said, "Sir, I don't know who you are, but if you don't stop preaching, I'm going to beat you to a pulp." He realized he was blind, and he said, blind old man, stop preaching, for I'd beat you to death, you blind old man." Holy Hubert stood there and said, "Sonny," as he would say, "Sonny, I can see more blind than you can see with your own eyes. I can see more blind than you can see with your own eyes. I can see more blind than you can see with your own eyes." That young man hauled off and began to beat on Holy Hubert. Holy Hubert hit the ground, and while he was beaten, he kept saying, "He's indescribable. He's indescribable. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's indescribable." And that young man, in the middle of him beating on Holy Hubert, the boy breaks and begins to cry. His name was Ben Johnson. He got saved, led to the Lord by Holy Hubert, and he carried Holy Hubert's Bible for 15 years, followed him all over, preaching on campuses and on the street. Why? Because he saw what others could not see. He's an indescribable God this morning who is alive and living. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You that You're a faithful God. And we leave here knowing that You are indescribable. We don't understand everything about You. And there's no way we could. He said, "My ways are not Your ways. My thoughts are not Your thoughts." But we know He's living and alive because He lives in us. So we thank You for this child, Christ Jesus, who came, who is indescribable this morning. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you give the Lord a clap offering this morning? Praise God. Where's Brother Jim? Is he out at his table? Where are you at? Brother Jim? Where's he at? Is he out at his table? Okay. Would y'all go back and buy a purchase off of Jim's table and support him? Aren't you grateful that he was with us this morning? Amen. If you're with us this morning visiting, we want to welcome. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Come eat with us. Adventure out. If you need directions, you can ask someone. But come eat with us and immediately go over. God bless you.